everyone. This is Mary from Rock of Life Fellowship. I lead the praise and worship music, and I'm also one of the youth and teen leaders. Rock of Life is a new place in Chico where people gather to learn that Jesus is real, always relevant, and wants a relationship with you. Each week, Pastor Alfredo shares a message from the Word of God that is current, relevant, and challenges us to grow our relationship with Jesus. Pastor Alfredo is also a worship leader and former singer of the Christian rock band, JBC. We get together each Sunday at 10 a.m. at 2090 Amanda Way at the Little Chico Creek Elementary School, two blocks past Winco off Forest Avenue. Now here's Pastor Alfredo with a recent Rock of Life message.
So I wanted to show you some snowflakes, because has it snowed in Magalia yet?
Word.
Word? That means yes? Word. Snows two blocks. I'm waiting for the snow to come down to our house. But I wanted to show you some snowflakes real quick. I'm going to get out of your way. So check out these snowflakes, right? How unique and how one of a kind they are. Absolutely no snowflakes at all. No two snowflakes are exactly alike. So if you look at these snowflakes, you can just see the design, this incredible design. That one I like a lot. There's one, that one trips me out. Hang there for a second. Has anybody seen a snowflake like that? I was thinking, and I mentioned this on what night was that? Thursday night. I mentioned the old game that we used to play. You put little plastic paint, I can't remember the name. And you put the pen and you circle it.
Spirograph.
Anybody remember that one? No, don't raise your hand. That's okay. But I've never seen that before. That is definitely one of a kind, unique. That one is kind of like, it's got like a tail kind of a thing. And look at the star in the middle. Go back to that one more time. The star in the middle of this one. Amazing, right? Extremely unique, extremely one of a kind. Go to the next one. Is that the last one, I think? That one looks like something you put in that spirograph, right? Two more? Let's go to the next one. I like those. Snowflakes are amazing. And we talked about how, if you look at the design, look at the colors in the middle. Kind of like a shamrock in the middle, sort of, kind of. One of a kind. One of a kind, unique. The kids on Christmas Eve, and Pastor Rick mentioned it this morning, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. And we talked about how that word begotten means unique son. No one like Jesus. Just no one like Jesus, ever. Extremely unique. And we talked about how every single person that God has made, all of us, there's only one of you. There is nobody like you. And sometimes we get in this feeling like that we don't matter. For whatever reason, there's times where I've talked to people and they go through moments in their life where they don't feel unique. They don't feel created by God, for whatever reason. But if you look at those snowflakes, you are just exactly like that. You are one of a kind. There's no one like you at all. There never was, and there never will be. In Nehemiah 9:6, it says, "You alone are the Lord. You made the skies and the heavens and all the stars. You made the earth and the seas and everything in them. You preserve them all, and the angels of heaven worship you." See, each one of us, just like that snowflake, is definitely God's creation, individually unique, one of a kind. And on Thursday night, I had said that, you know, the unique begotten Jesus came here to die for the unique, one of a kind you. Psalm 119:73 says, "You made me, you created me." You are so important to God. And as we close out this year and we look at the next year, I want to make a point as we go to the next part of the message. Too many people go through the end of the year upset and thinking they don't matter. They get overwhelmed by what happened this year, and they go into the next year thinking there's not a lot of hope, or there's not a lot of abilities that they're going to have to be able to change and to become that one-of-a-kind creation, have that plan that God has for us to be carried out. If there are people out there that don't feel so unique and they start thinking about changes, that's what we're going to talk about. Resolutions. Changes that we want to do for this next year. If people have felt like, I've gone through this year, nothing's really changed, matter of fact, this year just got harder, they may be thinking, I can't change. I can't become this new creation. I can't become this unique person because it's too late. I'm too young or I'm too old. Or they say I've messed up too much. I'm not able to start over again. There's just too much water under the bridge. It's too late for me to start over. There's too much weight on me from past relationships and past things that have held me back. And someone might even think that because of their past, that there's no way that they can make up for the messes, the lost opportunities, and the disappointments that they may have experienced. Well, they're wrong. It doesn't happen that way. Ephesians 4:24, put on a new nature, a new person created by God, truly righteous and holy. That's the hope that God gives us. See, since God's the creator of the universe, and he says that each one of us is one of a kind and unique, then God can make us whatever he wants. Despite our past, despite what we've gone through, when we go to him and say, okay, God, I'm ready for a do-over. I'm ready to become that creation you wanted me to be. This year, we can actually go to God and say, it is going to be different. There are things that are going to happen. See, people around this time, they start to think about opportunities. They start to think that, okay, maybe, what can I do differently? What can I change? It is a chance to reboot their lives, become a new creation and leave behind the old ways. And in a sense, what the Lord says is become a new creation. And you hear a lot, well, I'm not making the same mistakes I did last year. So I started researching. I went through the internet. I figured, well, what are all these resolutions that people usually start to look at? What is it that they want to change about themselves at this time that they'll say, okay, this is what I'm doing. This time of year, I'm going to stop doing this and start doing that, and I'm going to make these changes in my life. So I went through this poll that Time Magazine put out, the top 10 New Year's resolutions. Now, granted, these aren't exactly the resolutions that maybe people who have a relationship with God would put. I'll get to that in a minute. But number 10 on the, I feel like David Letterman. Number 10 on the list of the top 10 New Year's resolutions was to quit drinking or drink less. 9 was to volunteer. Go out in the community, volunteer, I'm going to do good. Be less stressed. However that was going to work out, they said, I'm going to be less stressed. They were going to spend more time with family. Number 6 was, I'm going to travel. I'm going to travel this year. I want to go to places. Number 5 was get out of debt, save money. 4 was eat healthier. 3, learn something new. 2 was to quit smoking. And number 1, pretty much what everybody says, right? They want to exercise. They want to get fit. And they want to, you know, lose weight and get in shape. And as I get older, I need to start working out. And Allison, I know, we got to set up a training for me. Now, for Christians, what do we usually look at? For people who have a relationship with the Lord, or for people that maybe not have a relationship with the Lord yet, what is it they look at? I just gave you the top 5. They want to love others more. They want to treat people better. 4 was to stop sinning or to do wrong. Stop sinning, I guess they just kind of put that in a general category. For, you know, each person may have a different sin, I guess. 3 was to support the church financially. I'm going to give 10%. I'm going to tithe. I'm going to give. Excuse me, that's yours? God bless you. Can we just pray over Victoria right now? Just thank you, Lord. I like that. Thank you. Yeah, I love her. Number 2 was, you know, I got to pray. I got to read the Bible more. I've got to get into the Word. But number 1 is just go back to church. Or just they want to go every Sunday. Do we have that slide? Really don't? Really? I messed that one up. So, but number 1 for the people is I just got to go back to church. You know, and usually around this time of year, we start looking at the New Year's and for these people that want to go back to church, or they just want to start going on a more regular basis. And we know that God's Word says, don't forsake the assembly of the people. Don't. It says to fellowship with people. Amen. Yeah, you got it. It you have to go. And then the reason isn't, and I'm going to be kind of blunt with you. I've talked to a lot of people who said, well, going to church doesn't make me a Christian. Of course not. Of course not. I can have a relationship with God and not go to church. Of course. Of course. Absolutely. The thing about church, though, for me and fellowshipping with other people, the strength and what happens here and getting closer with the people that love the Lord is what carries me through Monday through Saturday. So by the time Sunday rolls back around, I'm going for that recharge. So as Christians, we have the ability and the opportunity to make New Year's resolutions. It's okay. I've been researched a lot where some people's opinions were, well, you shouldn't make resolutions. That's like, your word means to be yes, yes, and your no's are no's. They're pretty hardcore about it. Although a lot of the research I did, most of them said it's okay for Christians to make resolutions and to make commitments to God. But know that for someone to decide to make a resolution, to place their life in the hands of God, and to make these changes and to follow His plan and to please God, see, we can make that happen any day of the year. It doesn't have to be right now. See, every day for us can be New Year's Day. Every day. See, and for those who have not yet decided to have a relationship with Jesus, every day can be Happy New Life Day. That's what God is saying. He's saying as a new creation, we can go to Him and we can have a do-over. We could go back and say, okay, I made a mistake here. I'm going to do it differently now. We can actually go back and have a new creation. We don't have to wait till January 1st to make these changes and try over. We have the opportunity to go at any time to God. He accepts us. No precursor, nothing that you have to clean up. You can go to God right now just the way you are and say, I am ready to be made over, God, to be this new creation you want me to be. Ephesians, I'm going to read you the rest of it. 4:22 to 24. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. See, God directs us to decide first to become a new creation. I'm going to pause there. We need to decide. We need to make up our minds. Because here's a highlight for you. God will not force Himself on you. He will not make you do something. We have free will. And at this time of year, if we're thinking about redoing our lives and changing things, it's because we want to do this. It's because we've decided to. Is God waiting for us? Absolutely. How do we go to God for help and say, Lord, I want to be this new creation you want me to be in life, but I can't do it on my own, and I need your help? Either we just don't know how, or maybe life's beating us up a bit. To be more exact, maybe a person, a family member, a friend has hurt us. Maybe someone in the church disappointed us. Maybe we're alone sometimes. We don't have people to help us. We don't have those mentors in our life. Maybe we've been overwhelmed, broken physically, emotionally, spiritually by relationships. Maybe we've had so much disappointment, we've looked at ourselves and said, who am I? What am I here for? Then we say, I can't do it. It's too much. There's too much to change. There's too much to overcome. How am I going to start over again at this point? How am I going to go to God and say, okay, I need to start over? Well, Philippians 4:13. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. I can do this. I can do this. See, now we can believe and say, I don't want to be hurt and let down about life. I want to be able to be strong enough to overcome those times, to be able to keep moving forward and enjoy those awesome things that God has for me in life, no matter what gets thrown at me. I don't want the past or the old me or old things that happened to hold my life back any longer. I want to finally accomplish all these great things that God wants me to accomplish. So the Bible talks about making commitments to God, and that's what we're going to kind of take this next half and go with. Changes in our lives that are pleasing to Him that you can call resolutions. Romans 12, 1 through 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all He has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind He will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship Him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the question still kind of remains. How do we accomplish godly New Year's resolutions and become God's new creation in life? Like we just heard, most resolutions that we make, they fail. They don't last very long, right? We try, we start, and for whatever reason, a couple of months later, it's not there. We lose track. Why does that happen? Just pause for a second. You don't have to say this out loud, but Why do you think the reason these resolutions, these commitments, they don't sustain? They don't last for us? Oh, I love you too. Realistic? Yeah. Bingo, bingo. See, the reason why a lot of our goals and our resolutions, they don't stick, is because they are empty goals because there is no Holy Spirit power behind them. There is no Word of God tied to each goal. We write down, yeah, I want to get fit, and we say, yeah, I want to exercise more, or yeah, I want to stop cussing, or I want to stop, you know, I want to go back to work, whatever. But you look at these things, and if we haven't tied them with the Scripture, if we haven't sat down and prayed over each one, if we don't look at how God wants us to accomplish these, we're trying to do them on our own strength. And it won't work. John 15:5 says, yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Love you too, Gary. So what we're going to do is we're going to go through seven ways. How do we do this? How do we accomplish these goals? I'm going to give you some foundational scripture to each step. And what I'm going to do is, I know people like to take notes. I'm going to have David come out and pass out these seven ways right now, so that you guys can take them home, work on them, meditate on them, and start figuring out how you're going to accomplish these resolutions, these godly commitments. And you can take notes on the back of this paper if you like. I'll give him a second to pass these out. I made 100, so I think we have enough. If you want two for somebody else, raise your hand. I think Dave can get you another one. Pastor Rick's the teacher, so he'll do the quiz next week on this one. So I'm going to read that one more time. John 15:5. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So let's go through these top seven ways. How God shows us how we can accomplish our commitments or our resolutions. Number one, the first thing you need to do is you need to figure out what God thinks about you. Too many people listen to others who told them they can't do things. The number one thing you have to get over is all the, wow, I almost said something, all the junk that has been fed into your mind, into your hearts. You've got to get past these people who said you're going to fail, you can't do it, you're nothing. Because too many people speak into our lives, and we've allowed that. And the only person that we need to speak into our lives is God and what He thinks about us. See, God says something about every single person here. You are marvelous. Psalm 139:13-14. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And it says, your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. So start there. Start thinking about what God thinks about you. We already know that He loved you so much, He sent Jesus to die for you. That's how important you are. Don't let anybody tell you anything any different. Number two, know what you're doing. You need to start with something, but you need to have an idea of what it is that we're supposed to do, where our thoughts come from to start these changes and these resolutions. You need to read God's Word. You need to ask Him for wisdom. Solomon asked for wisdom, became the wisest man who ever lived. You need to go to the Lord and say, Lord, give me wisdom. Help me start and think the thoughts that You want me to. James 1:5 says, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God, and He will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking. God also says, you don't have because you don't ask. So if you need wisdom, if your mind isn't clear and you're trying to figure out, I don't know exactly what to do, open up the Word of God, ask for wisdom, and just start reading. Do devotionals, Bible studies, Read the Bible in a Year program. My opinion is sometimes people say, I don't know where to open up the Bible. I just don't know where to start. The book of John. Start the book of John. In the beginning, brother, there was a word. Amen. And read the book of John. If I was going to give you some more advice, if you want a book in the Bible that says this is right, this is wrong, this is what you should do, this is what you not do, should not do, start in Galatians. Start reading the book of Galatians, especially chapter 5. Okay? And then you can look up that on your own. Number 3. We talked about this earlier in December. And I don't know if we have any more of those plants back left there, David or Rhonda, but if we do, great, we do. You can pick one up on the back if you don't have one. But the first couple of weeks of December, we started planning out, and we went through the book of Habakkuk. We wrote out plans for the new year's and 3 things that would help us make these plans. Number 1 is what we can do for God, because He comes first. Number 2, we talked about when we need to go to God and what we need to say when we need help. God, this is the things that I need. And the 3rd about that was how we can make sure that we give Him the praise, the thanks, the worship, the appreciation, the love that we need to give Him when prayers are answered and even when prayers are not answered. Remember to thank God for everything that He does, in everything. Habakkuk 2:2 says, "Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." So you have a plan, you have an action. It makes you run because you've planned it out, you've read it, you wrote it down, and you're ready to put it in action. You guys with me so far? Am I going too fast? I feel like I'm... All right, number 4. This is the important one. This is in the middle. There's 3 before this, and there's 3 after this. This is in the middle for a reason. Check your motivation. Make sure that every goal is to honor God, not to puff yourself up. Make sure that everything that you write is honoring to God. Lord, I just need more money. Why do you need more money? What do you want to do with it? To bless others or to get stuff? You know, Lord, I want to have I want this promotion at job. I just wanna get this title. Why? So that everything you do at your work can honor God and the people can see around you, or do you want a title? You just want the power. Check your motivation. I want to be able to bless my family. I want to be able to take care of them. Because God's called us to take care of our family, because God's asked us to honor people around us, or because we want another power position, or because we want the accolades, thank you. We want that martyr syndrome. Oh, look what I do. Check your motivation. Psalm 37, 5-6. Commit everything you do to the Lord. Trust Him, and He will help you. But everything must be committed to the Lord. Number 5. Have the faith to know you got this. You can do this. You got it. See, go into this year, and this is important. Watch your words. Speak life. Oh, I can't do it. See, it's just like I've always, I can't do it. It's like what my family told me I am. You know, it's the same thing my boss told me, I can't do this. No, you need to speak life and victory, not failure. The past is gone. This time is different. Don't get down on yourself when you take a step or two backwards. Have the faith to get back up and say, God, you are in control, and this time it is going to be different. Matthew 17:20. You don't have enough faith, Jesus told him. I tell you the truth. If you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it would move. Nothing would be impossible. Nothing. Number 6, this is okay to ask people when you need help. You can't do it alone. We need help. Too many people try to accomplish what they need to do in life by themselves. They don't look at the resources that they have right in front of them. Here, you have a fellowship. I know we've only been here a year and 2 months, but I already have more resources, more friends, more people I can call and need help that can pray with me than I've ever had in my entire life. There are people here that would do that for you. We have Bible studies. We have fellowship groups. The men have breakfast. The women get together. We have special services. We want to do even more, but I am telling you, we're here to help. We have brothers and sisters here that would help pray with you. What you need at times is something called an accountability partner. Somebody that you can have in your life that you can call and you can say anything and not be condemned, not be put down. Everybody needs to have somebody that they can speak freely to without being condemned. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 10. Two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. I really pray you guys have that in your life. There were times I definitely did it. And the problem was, it was a lot of times it was my choice. I chose to push people away from me. I chose not to reach out for help. I had way too much pride. I thought, well, you know, if I got to call somebody and say, hey, I'm messing up here, I'm really not doing well, somehow I felt I couldn't have that humility to humble myself to even make that call. Now, completely different. I'm like, oh man, I really suck right now. I'm really struggling. I blew it. I need help. I need someone to pray with me. I'm not where I need to be. Go in the wilderness. Yeah. Trust me, I've been in the wilderness. I'm not going back. Tell others, number 7, and this is the last one, and this is really important. Tell others what God has done. Celebrate your wins, even a small one. I mean, even a small little, I mean, just anything. Hey, I lost 2 pounds, or hey, you know, my boss came up to me and said, nice job, and or, you know, hey, I was able to put $20 in the bank this month, or, you know, I would say I took a family member out to lunch, or a friend that, you know, that we'd been a little awkward with, and celebrate those little wins, those little successes. Those are awesome. Isaiah 63:7. I will tell of the Lord's unfailing love. I will praise the Lord for all he has done. I will rejoice in his great goodness to Israel, which he has granted according to his mercy and his love. And like I said, there was a time where I was shy or hesitant to tell people around me about my relationship with God. There was even times like at work, way back in the day, not now, but way back in the day, if somebody asked me about God, sometimes I was afraid to share because I didn't want them to think that, you know, I wanted to be cool, I wanted to be fit in. I don't care about fitting in with people nowadays. I just want to fit into God's plan for me. That's it. That's my goal. So I'm gonna close this for you. Remember, this is hard. This is not easy. There is work to be done when you choose to serve God. When you decide, I'm going to follow God's plan, it is not going to be easy. You can't give up. You can't fail. If you're married, if you're a married couple, you have to be standing on that same foundation. You have to be able to go through the struggles and the trials and the fights and the little quarrels that you have and always be able to land back down on solid ground so that one of you says, let's pray. Let's refocus. You're not sure what I said? Let's pray. Siri couldn't hear me. If you're not in a relationship, or maybe you're in a relationship and you don't know where it's going, I'm going to ask you to make sure that your motivation, that you go through these 7 things, because you need to be on that same foundation for your future. But it's worth it. There is nothing like living for God.
Hey everyone, this is Tommy from Rock of Life. I'm also a youth pastor and teen leader along with my wife, Mary. You can listen to Pastor Alfredo's messages here on KKXX at 12 noon Monday through Friday. You can also hit us up on our website at rockoflife.com. chico.org to see Pastor Alfredo's messages on our YouTube channel link. And feel free to like us on Facebook. If you were inspired and blessed by today's message and would like to continue to hear more from Rock of Life on this radio program, visit our website, rockoflifechico.org, and support us with a one-time or monthly donation. At Rock of Life, we're a family, and everyone is welcome to come as they are, grow, or start your relationship with Jesus. Join us for weekly Bible studies for men, women, and teens, and check out the event calendar on our website for dates and times.
Thanks for listening, and see you on Sunday.